Well, good evening, everybody. Well, it's good to be alive, isn't it?
Amen.
On this evening. Yeah. Well, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9:8. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 is God's definition of what prosperity is, about having our needs met. This is God's definition of, you understand that when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and you understand what the children of, you understand about Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world, slavery. You know the Israelites were in slavery, and they were in bondage. They were in hard taskmaster. They had no land. They have no property. They didn't even own themselves. They belonged to Pharaoh in the land of the Egyptians. So they were under this taskmaster. And if you go way back historically and understand this, that God said, if you worship other gods and don't serve me, you'll go into captivity. And so they went to captivity. And so they were in this land of Egypt. And they were held in bondage. And many of them were starving, working every day and not ever getting anywhere, working at the grind. And they were skinny. The Bible said they were just, many of them even didn't have, they were so skinny they couldn't maintain the pace. Some of them lost parts of their body over usage, working in under very hard, labor. And the scripture talks about that the Israelites, God sent a man by the name of Moses. You remember Moses? He was a deliverer. He was actually, raised up in Egypt. Under Pharaoh, lived in Pharaoh's house, learned all about, the lifestyle and so forth. And actually, he was a Hebrew, a Jewish young man. And God called him to go back after, just I'm telling some stories, some of the stuff I'm missing. But when he ran away from there because he killed somebody, did he kill anybody? Well, maybe not. But this guy killed someone, he ran away because he figured that they're gonna destroy him and they were gonna kill him, but God sent him back there to face his whole life. How many people know that God will send you back to face your whole life, and then to see what you're gonna do if you could trust God. And so, anyway, he went there, and the Bible says this man called Moses. He led the children out of bondage under Egypt and Pharaoh. He came out there. Understand that Egypt and Pharaoh is a type of the devil and his kingdom. And you were under the devil and his kingdom before you met Jesus. Maybe you thought you were living your own life, but you were under bondage. You're going straight to hell. There's a place called hell. I want to spell it for you. H-E-L-L. There's a place called hell. And it's a real place. The Bible, Jesus talked about it. There's a place called hell. And if the only way to miss that is to come to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Excuse me. This is a very expensive pen. Compliments of Roma Fisher, Faith City Church. So it must be a good pen. So they came out of Egypt. The psalmist said, I believe it's a Psalm 105, I think verse 30 or somewhere on there. We can find it. I can find it for you. It said they came out with silver and gold. That's cash. That means they were prosperous when they came out. They came out, you know, before they came out, they suffered a little lamb which represented Jesus. Remember, they were told to take the lamb and slay that lamb, take the blood, put it on the doorpost, the top of the doorpost, and the two sides representing the cross, the blood of Jesus. You know, the lamb's blood represented the blood of Jesus as a type and shadow. That little lamb, a little perfect little lamb they had, is a type of Jesus. Foreshadowing, looking at Jesus. When you know, years later, years, centuries later, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, his cousin, it's like me and Ed there. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's found in John. I'm not sure what chapter, I think 3 or somewhere on there. You can check it, Google it. So he came out there. See, Jesus is the Lamb of God. His blood covers our total well-being. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. There it is. Next day, John saw Jesus. That was his cousin. That's right. Elizabeth and Elizabeth and Mary were, I guess that's what it is, brother and sisters. Brother and sister. John saw Jesus coming. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That by the Holy Ghost, he spoke that by the Holy Spirit. Can you go to Psalm 100? Psalm 100. Maybe it's 105, or is it 100 and... Is it 100 and... They came up with silver and gold, 107, 105. See, this guy knows his Bible. He's Jewish. He was actually there. He looks young yet, but what is it, verse 20?
Verse 37.
See, he knows that. That's historical. Psalm 105, verse 37. Would you put that on the screen for us? It's on there now. See how fast they are? They're so fast around here. And you got to have somebody with real good skill. So, he brought them forth. Who's he? Well, God did through Moses. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Everybody say silver and gold. So how do you think they in the desert made all these idols? Well, they had all that stuff. They took, the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They took that all that away from them. That's the type where you're going to get stuff from somebody in the world who's going to give you stuff. If you believe that. Like you're going to, somebody's going to give you a car you never paid for. But you have to believe it. You're going to say, "Nah, I don't believe that." Well, you have to believe it. I believe in it. You can see me with a nice new car. Say, "How did he get that?" Oh, he wished it in. No, he didn't wish it in. He believed. Okay, so he brought them all with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person. The Bible says there was not one sick person. Not one weak person. They were totally made well as they ate the lamb. They sacrificed the lamb. They applied the blood of Jesus. They got totally healed. Brought them also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among the tribe. So God, this is a type. This is a type of what God wants us to have. God wants us to have healthy bodies. Although you hurt your shoulder, you know, that's not the devil. You just tripped over. You better watch yourself. That's your fault, yeah? Don't take the garbage out. Tell Gail, take it out next time. Or somebody. Tell over there, the king over here. He'll take it out for you. I'm telling my wife to take my garbage out from now on. I'm older than her. Okay. Not one feeble person, not one weak person. God doesn't want us to be weak. Because if you feel weak, it's your fault. Yeah? Tell your body, get up, body. Amen? So we want you to see that, because that God wants us to understand that He wants us to prosper. He wants to have enough, not just barely making it. Now, okay, look at when the children of Israel came out, there's phases of the people of Israel. And whatever happened to them historically, what if you read all that stuff, is a type of you and I going through life. Now let's go to something. Okay, so first of all, in Egypt, they didn't have anything. They were just poor, and they were just in poverty. And God says, "I got some place for you to go." So they go out over there, in the wilderness. They're traveling on this land, going to what they call the Promised Land. And they had to fight these giants to get there. And you know, when they're going through, they're on their road to the Promised Land. They were going through the land there, and they had God's protection upon them. God protected them from getting destroyed. Healed them and all that. They were getting healed. They were not supposed to get sick, but they got sick. Some Christians get sick, and they need healing. Somebody said that it's better. You know, healing is wonderful, but divine health is a whole lot better. Right? You don't have to get sick. But people get sick, you know, because you maybe eat too much pizza or whatever it is. You made yourself sick, but the devil didn't do it. So we have to watch ourselves, right? So here we have this whole situation going on. And so we see historically that they were going through the land there. They were just, the Bible said they had shoes that didn't wear out. I don't like that, having the same shoes. I like to have different kind of shoes. If you notice me, you ever notice that? I don't always wear the same shoes. Why should I wear the same shoes all the time? It's up to you where you want to put your money. Me, I put it in shoes. I look in your house, you'll probably find a lot of forks in your house. What do you got so many forks for? You only need one. But anyway, they had just enough sometimes. They just had enough. And God says, I'm going to take you from there, from this place. I'm going to take you to a land of plenty. You're going to go to this other place. You're going to have more than enough. Some of them didn't make it. Some of them didn't make it. I don't know if that's you. You know, you're happy with just having just enough for you and your family. Is that all you want? Just pay your bill, get a nice car, have a nice house. That's all you want. And well, you know, listen, there's more to life than just having a nice car. You got to have enough money to help somebody else out.
Amen.
Help the church out. Help evangelists. Help Mark go across the country. Help Spirit Alive broadcast television. We need more. Okay, that's a little introduction. I'm going crazy here. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9:8. I want to show you something. This is God. I begin to tell you, this is God's definition of prosperity. We've been talking about, you know, having God meeting our needs. Remember, we said that Jesus is our shepherd. The Lord is, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. And I like what you put on there, Psalm 37. They that fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing. She reminded me of that scripture. Now look at her hair. Her long hair now. Okay, watch this. Did you find that? Let's go read it together. God and God. Okay, one, two, three. Everybody read it together. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, or say me, that I, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, having all sufficiency all the time is God's mark, God's goal for us, is that we should have enough, more than enough. That's our goal in this church. That's what we want everybody, just to have, you know, not just a few people that are smart and went to school and got a degree. We want everybody, even the person out there, you know, you might never have went to school, but God wants you to have more than enough. If you got a business, you just give away stuff. Amen. Just give away things. You know what you want? Okay, you want that? Yeah, go ahead, take it. We want to get there. But don't do it yet. You might want to do it. You go ahead. So, here God says that's what he wants us to have. He wants to have us more. He wants to have us have all sufficiency. God wants to have all sufficiency and every good work. Everything. Okay, you say, well, something going on over here. A teen challenge needs something. Let's go ahead, write them a check. You want 10,000? Okay, $10,000. Here it is. You need another car? Okay, just have Joanne's car. Yeah. Just go ahead and come and get it tomorrow. She doesn't need it. You know, so take that car. You need it, and she buys a new one. Or just borrow from Deb. Deb got a nice little car there. Just get Deb. Says, yeah, you can take my car. We went to visit a friend of ours who lives in Orange County, California. That's an expensive place to live. Friends of ours. It's good to have friends over there. I stayed there for 12 days. I wish it was longer. I went to see Jay Leno back then. I guess they fired him by now. But anyway, we went there. It was nice over there. They said, oh, you want where do you want to go? You going to Camp Cal? Where are you going? Oh, you want to go to San Francisco? Okay, here, take that car. Take it. Use my car. Brand new car they had. Nice car. Nice vehicle. Nice SUV. Just everything on it. Anything you want on it was on it. Take it. Okay, we went for a drive. I was almost scared to drive it. They said, put that little car, hide it over there. It was good. Good friends. I think we want to go back there again. So, go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Say, God wants me to have more than enough. Say, he's the God that's more than enough. Say, God is the God of more than enough. See, God wants us to have. That's why my wife always tells me, how come you buy two, one pair? You should just buy one. I said, no, I'll buy two, buy three of them. Yeah. So I just buy two or three. He said, how come you buy two pairs of slacks? I went, Pastor Ken needs a pair of slacks. I'll just give it to him. So he gets all the extra slacks. I got the nice shirt and whatever else I gave him. 2 Corinthians, did you find 2 Corinthians? Or you're in John chapter 10? Okay. Let's read together. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. See, Jesus himself said, I want to give you more abundant life. You know that word? The word life is Zoe. So the word Zoe is the God kind of life, or the type of life God has. God is excessive. God is rich, and God is wonderful, eh? He said the God kind of God quality kind of life. God wants us to have that kind of life. He wants us to meet our needs. When they came out of Israel, Israel came out of Egypt there. They had, the Bible says they had lots of stuff. It's a type and shadow. Everybody say, more abundantly.
More abundantly.
Say, according to John 10:10, God wants me to have a more abundant life. Say, I have, according to God's word, more than enough. More abundant life. See, that's what God said. That's what Jesus said. So you might not have richness right now, but that's what he said you got. You got that. That Zoe, God, you got it right now. You might not have all the money in the bank right now, but if you start believing it and start claiming it and say, thank God.
Yeah.
I put on my status the other day. I was wondering if I should put it. I said, I shall not lack anything. I shall not lack one thing.
Yeah.
That's a good testimony. If you're brave enough to say that in front of all your friends, you go right ahead and say that. You say, oh, he doesn't look at him. He doesn't have that much. No, I'm saying what God says. They laughed at Abraham. They laughed at Noah building an ark. But one day, they didn't laugh. So I'm going to say I have everything. I've got everything I want and more. Okay? You say that too. So here, Jesus said, I want you to have more abundant life. I want you to have more than enough. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is the Apostle Paul, whom Jesus, enlightened him and gave him, you know, he wrote a lot of the epistles. We've got Bible school coming up, so I hope some of you guys will join us. If you're watching online, we want you to come to Bible school. Everybody all year, they want Bible school crying. All of a sudden, when it comes along, they say, I can't make it. So we made all the plans for them, and they don't show up. Did you find John, Ephesians 3:20? If you're not, look at the screen. Now unto him is he able.
Yes.
That he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Right now, there's a power working in you right now to get this more than exceedingly abundantly life. You have to believe that. You have to receive that and believe it and say, thank God. I don't believe it. Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Or just you? She's you're getting excited. I'm thank God. These are scripture. This is life. I mean, this is life right now. He said that he's able to do. God is able to do it. And in the other scripture said, God, with his grace, can make you do it. He can make you with his grace. You don't have to do anything. Just believe God. His grace will do it. His grace will do it. Pastor Ken told me the other day, he said, I'm reminded what you said, you know, somebody's going to give you $200,000. I said, you watch it. Somebody's giving me $200,000. Not for my ministry, for me. You heard me said it. That's a lot of trouble. Hey? That's a lot of trouble. If you don't believe anything. He said, you know, I like that drum. He died dead with no money. No. Praise God. Don't say that. Okay. So it says here that Jesus, that God is able, he's able to do it. Is he not able to do it?
Yeah.
To give you exceedingly abundantly? Oh, what are you going to ask for? He said, I'll top it.
Yeah.
What have you been asking? You say, oh, just enough, Lord, to make enough sugar here for the week here. You better go to my cousin's, get some lard. I want to make some bannock here. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my mom sent me over to my cousin's to get some lard. It was cold out. I didn't want to drive and walk somewhere to go get some lard. Go get some lard. I went there. They looked at me. What do you want? As if I was asking. I'm just a messenger. They start scolding me. I just give you the note. As a kid, that's what happened. I was embarrassed. I need some sugar, some tea, and some lard. Put us over till Friday. That's where I live, so thank God. That's why you have lots of shoes today. Never had shoes back then. Didn't have any socks. Now let's read it together. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You have to start thinking like that and start asking God for more. They say, oh, I can't ask God. I'm not going to ask God this. That's way too much. God's too busy with everybody else. No, he's God is awesome, man. He's awesome God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We got to convince you some more. I like this because I like reading these scriptures, but I get excited. I thank God because, you know, somebody right now, he's living in your house. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. Somebody said, you know, God promised. Read Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 8, and chapter 11. Read all those scriptures that tell you there that, you know, he told them, hey, you're going to have stuff that you never even worked for. The houses that were built, you're going to have houses you never built. You never paid a dime for a house. Give you lands you never irrigated. You never fixed up the land. Give you cows you didn't raise. He said, I don't give that to you. Did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Go to verse 11. He's talking about the history over here. We're going to teach Bible history in Bible school. I'm going to show you how this works, this history stuff. Verse 11. Do we have it there? Now, all these things happened unto them, that's the Israelites, for examples, that they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are to come. So these things happened, all these things happened to them, whatever happened to those people is an example for us so that we can learn. Amen. Whatever they got, we can have. Whatever they went through, we can have whatever they got. Now, if you're sitting there, you're saying, well, I don't believe that. Well, listen, I'm telling you what the Bible says. My job is to teach the Bible. Teach the Word of God, God's Word. This is God's Word, undisputable. The heavyweight champion is right here, undisputed. Go to Romans chapter, I believe it's chapter 14, I believe it is. Romans. I think it's 15. Okay, Romans 15, verse 13. Or is it 15, 13? Okay, you Bible school students, help me out. 14. I'm looking for a scripture that looks like the same one that we just read. I think it's 15, I believe it is. Does anybody know what it is? No, not the God of hope. It's got to be, where is it? I don't know, it's in the Bible somewhere. So it's talking about the Israelites coming out, and okay, you know what? I know what. I know. I lost my pace here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for references. Okay. What's that? You want to look at 13? Let's look at 13 then. Come on, we'll look at 13. We're taking on everything. 15, for there it is. See, there's a Bible school student right there. I knew it was 15 or something like that. I didn't mark it in my Bible. This Bible is a brand new Bible. Is it 15:4? Okay. Do you have that up there? Okay. So let's go look at that. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope. So, hey, that gives us some hope that, you know, God gave them, you know, whatever we read about their lives, it applies to us. It applies to us. So he's saying there that this is what it is, see? Now, I want to remind you, John 10:10 again, if you go back to John 10:10. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, the last section of the verse, that they might have it more abundantly. So if you look in the Bible dictionary, you're going to find out there's about several words that this word is translated into. They all mean the same thing, just give a variation of it. It says this word abundant or abundantly means this. It means surplus. Surplus or surplusage. It also means superabundance. It means more and more than enough. More than enough. Enough, but more than enough. It means excess. Excess or excessive. That this word, I'm telling you about this word. You look it up. Excess. Over above. More than enough. Abundantly. Surplus. See, God wants us to have a life that will have enough. Now, you know, it's not just for us to have, you know, better cars and nice, but he wants us to have enough to meet our needs. Plus, he wants us to be able to share with other people. How are you going to share if you don't have anything? I know in my culture, they have what they call the grandfather teachings. One of the teachings is to be able to share. If you're poor, you're not a very good hunter, you got nothing to share. You never kill anything. Maybe just get an old rabbit. You want more than a rabbit. So we want Jesus. God, you know, he brought them out with silver and gold. There's not one feeble person among the tribes. They had more than enough. Afterward, they went to a place over there. Now, in John chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says that Jesus multiplied one boy's lunch. About all these people, thousands of people, he fed all those thousands of people, and there was more than enough left over for those disciples to actually eat some more. They said that everybody ate plenty, had plenty, but they had enough after. They had more after that. In Luke chapter 15, verse 17, over there, that's a fish, multiplying the fish and loaves. And John 15:7, he says, you know, in John 15:7 talks about that one boy running away, right? 15, is it 15? See, there was 12 baskets left over in this John 6:13. There was 12 baskets full, which remained over and above. Everybody say over and above. That's scripture. That's written for people, for us to understand. God wants us to have more. He don't want just you have just enough to scrape by this week. Hopefully next week we'll make it. I got to borrow some money so I can just make it. Hey, listen, you got 10 bucks, I'll make it over town. I got my check on the other side. No, God wants us to have more. We need to teach it. We need to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to mention it. We got to talk about it. I mean, I believe that everybody should have a job. Everybody should work. But God could actually bless that job, bless that work, and make something more out of it than Donald Trump could ever imagine. That's what we got to believe. We have to believe that. Let's go to John 15. See, it says over and above, Luke chapter 15, verse 17. It says there was bread to spare, plenty to eat, and more. Luke 15, 17. When he came to himself, this young man who lost his money, I was talking to people. I have the sometimes I have the ability to know people because of my line of work in college and here and in the community. I get to meet people who had lots of money and lost it. Okay? They had one time they had business, they had money. I know people who had businesses, they lost it. But it's because they're skillful, whatever, but God was not necessarily involved. I mean, God blesses everybody, good and bad. The Bible says he blesses everybody. It's all out there. If you hard work, you'll get somewhere. But we know people who inherited money. You know, the Bible talks about inheriting money. It just goes through your hand like sand. You told me about it too as well. We won't talk about your story. I know people that lost thousands of dollars in a very short time. And this boy, this is a true story. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants my fathers have, and bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing." He said, my dad's servant got enough, but they have even spare. His servants, he's talking about his servants. Now, this guy had an inheritance. So God wants us to have more than what we're having. We got to believe it. We got to believe God. Believe Jesus can do it in our lives. I want to believe it. I'm believing it. I believe it. Thank God. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus died. Jesus became poor so that we could become rich. Jesus became poor that we could become rich. The word rich means plenty or more than enough. You don't want to just have a gas tank that'll just last you for 2 weeks. You want to say, "Hey, man, I got a lot of gas. Listen, I can drive wherever you want. I'll drive you. I got enough. I got more than enough for myself and you." Listen, I got this card. You want to go for a trip? I just buy this ticket for you right now. Send you on a one-way trip. Let's get you out of town. You've been bugging me for 6 months. Here, come on over here. You know, you got a credit card. You say, "Hey, listen, take the credit card. There's a limit of $2,000. Go ahead, take that vacation here. Take this one for $5,000. It has $5,000 on it. Use it." We want to do that. How many of you want to do that? Yeah, I'm sure lots of you, some of you just lying, just sitting there, you want to do that too. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Bible. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Jesus was rich, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's the scripture. Jesus lived in heaven. He had everything. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to wear sandals and come walking around. He didn't have to go on the cross. He had servants, If you want a pizza, just say, give me a pizza. What do you want to eat today? Italian? Italian. Whatever. Right? I'm telling you what the Bible says right over here. Now, okay, now watch this. We're going to finish three more scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go over here. We'll try to finish some of this up because this is very interesting. Very interesting. You say, well, then how come I'm broke? Well, I don't know. You better ask God about that. You know, I'm just trying to make it here for the whole month. I'm hoping to ask someone here to help me out. Oh, yeah, we'll help you out. But later. Yeah? You know, when people ask me stuff, I just go ahead and give people stuff. They ask me stuff. Sure, just give them, you know. Even when we go somewhere, you buy something, just go ahead and give $20 tip or, you know, $50, $100, whatever. I remember Hannah, she's at school at Rhema. She said, you know, Dad, I haven't been making any money. I need some extra money. Okay, let's believe. Praise God. Amen. It's almost closing time. She worked till 3 o'clock in the morning, Bible school. So she said, oh, here's a bunch of guys coming in. And they came in there and then they just leave a $100 tip for her. That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. Believe God. This is, you know, and she went to, you know, just happy. How many people know that money makes you happy? Huh? Just so happy. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, if you don't have any money, you're just sad, eh? Real sad. There's no money. There's no money. I can't go eat no ribs tonight. They say, where do you want to go? You want to go somewhere? No, I can't. I don't have any money. You need money. You say, you can't. Let's give to Spirit of Life money. I don't have any money. I got somebody I don't want to give right now. I might run out. So, John, did you find Deuteronomy chapter 6? Let's go read verse 1. Now, these things are the commandments and statutes and judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God and keep all the statutes and commandments which I command you this day, and thy son and thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord your God of your fathers had promised thee, in the land that thou flowed with milk and honey. He tells them that you're going to prosper. Verse 7. He said, teach this to your children diligently to thy children. Talk about them. And when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, and then when you lie down, when you rise up in the morning. He's telling them to teach these things to the kids. If you obey God, all will go well with you. You'll be successful. At everything you do, you'll be successful. Now, if you don't have a dad, you might want to obey me. Because I'm your spiritual father. You say, yeah, you just follow what I tell you. You'll follow in here, and you'll make it. And it shall be, verse 10, it shall be the Lord God to have brought thee to the land which you swear to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities that thou buildest not. So I'm going to give you cities you never built. He told them that. How would you like to inherit a city? Wow, that'd be good, eh? Houses and houses full of good things which thou fillest not. You know, a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, this is Bible. A type and shadow of what God wants us to have. He said, well, I can't believe. Well, I'm sorry about you can't believe that. Well, start reading the Bible. Wells digged which thou diggest not. Vineyards and olive tree which thou plantest not. When thou shalt eat the fruit and be full. Beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, look, you know, people, they get a little bit blessing and they forget God. I've had people tell me, Pastor, you know, hey, listen, you know, when I get a little bit better here, I'm just going to bring people to church. Help me believe God for this, you know. Can you agree with me? For a nice house, you know, for a nice job. Okay, we're going to believe. And I claim this because I believe, you know, hey, listen, people can give me stuff that I didn't deserve to have it, but God saw fit that I could have it. Amen. This is in the Bible. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, you'll see the same thing that he talks about there. He'll take you to all this place called a land of milk and honey. So we're going to stop right here because this is blowing people right out of here. Let's go ahead and stand up. I mean, the tops of your hair is just sticking right up and eyes are starting to bulge. And praise God. And Kendra's just ready to go, man. She's just flying away here. Isn't Kendra pretty? Eh? Praise God. That guy, amen. She's got that long flowing clothes and everything. Beautiful. Amen. That Pastor Steve, he's really lucky. Amen. Thank God. God wants us to have more than enough. He wants us to be rich enough to be able to bless somebody. Somebody says to me, hey, you know what? I know somebody next door, they need something. I want to give it to them. Family over here, they're poor. Let's go ahead and bless them. Take care of them. I want you to start being, in here, somebody in here, you know, you come to church some Sunday, just hand them $20. You don't have to have God's leading. Oh, I got to have God's leading. No. Just go ahead and do it. Bible says, give it shall be given unto you. Just dig in your pocket and just go ahead and hand out money. And start believing. If you've never done that before, I'm going to urge you in the name of Jesus to do it. $5 or just start with, you know, 2 bits. What is that, 2 bits? Huh? Is that 25 cents? I started with a little bit more than that. A toonie. Amen. Father, we want to thank you so much for the word of God. We thank you. You're the God that's more than enough, and you want us to prosper. You don't want us to be worried about money. You don't want to worry about paying car payments and house payments. You want us to have plenty. You want us to be generous. You want us to be able to share and to give to other people that are in need, and just to be a blessing to someone. They don't have to be starving. You just want to be a blessing. Here, go ahead and take my card here. Take this card. I got this card. Go to have a steak in the name of Jesus. Here, have this money here. Just go ahead and fill your tank and drive around in the name of Jesus. Father, we purpose in this church to believe you for the best. We purpose this church. Thank you for giving us this building and giving us money to fill it and to be a blessing to this neighborhood. We bring out this neighborhood. We're trusting the Lord that because we're here, that Current River, the living condition of Current River and the life of Current River economically will be much better because we're here. We're believing God that everything around here is going to look good. Thank you, Lord. We're trusting in the name of Jesus that people come in this church, they're suddenly going to fall into wealth. They're going to start believing for bigger things and better things in the name of Jesus. They'll not be bothered by debt. They're coming out of debt. They're believing they'll be out of debt. They'll be debt-free by the end of this year, the end of this month, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank God. He is the God. My God is the God of more than enough. I have all sufficiency. I'm a blessing. I will be a blessing. I am a blessing. Hallelujah! 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 Woo! Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessing. Blessing of the Lord. Well, good night, guys. Drive home safely in the name of Jesus.